You're listening to iFaith Message 48 from 1 Timothy, and I've entitled it, How to Avoid a Shipwreck. Last time, we were in the Ephesian letters, and we had a message called Awake, O Sleeper, which was actually a baptismal hymn, just like Johann Sebastian Bach's piece called Sleepers Awake from the 1700s. Well, today we begin the pastoral epistles. These are letters written to ministers, Timothy and Titus. It's not that they weren't for the benefit of the entire church, but it's the advice, it's the counsel of the Apostle Paul to these particular ministry leaders. And there'll be six messages, two from each of these pastoral letters. Avoiding a shipwreck. Can shipwrecks be avoided? Presumably, yes, they can. Now, I've never been in one. I was once in a canoe that collapsed because it had a huge hole in it. It was taking on water, and we went over rapids, and we were in the rocks of the mud, and my partner broke his hand. I don't know if that really counts as a shipwreck. This is not like the Titanic. Now, the Apostle Paul had experienced shipwrecks. He tells us in 2 Corinthians, three shipwrecks, in fact. And yet, that's before the famous shipwreck of Acts chapter 27. So this is not a theoretical thing. Paul knew what he was talking about with shipwrecks. So we're going to be looking at the beginning of 1 Timothy chapter 1 today. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer, or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. So, Paul had been in Macedonia. That's on the west side or northwest of the Aegean Sea. Ephesus is on the east side of the Aegean. And he has left Ephesus. He's left Timothy there and given him certain instructions because there's some troublemakers. There are people teaching some things that just aren't true. Ephesus is an important city. We know a lot about it from the ancient world. It was probably the fourth largest city in the empire, Rome, Alexandria, Antioch, Ephesus. Kind of like in my country, it'd be New York, L.A., Chicago, and Dallas. Dallas or maybe Houston. At any rate, these people confuse controversy with taking a stand for the truth. I know they would say they just care about the truth, but they're just causing trouble. And of course, this is a little bit tricky because by virtue of our proclamation, all Christians cause trouble eventually. That is, we will be persecuted, Jesus warns. And we may be accused of having the wrong motives. But sometimes people really do. And they confuse the fight and the controversy, the tension with, somehow they confuse that with bravery, standing up for the truth. But what these guys are into, these are not important things. These are just speculations, like genealogies and mythology. So why is this important? Let's continue. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they don't know what they're talking about or what they so confidently affirm. Okay, there are three points. Pure heart, good conscience, sincere faith. But these are really sub-points, because Paul tells us what the point is. The goal is love. The goal of the command is love. It's not dealing with some superficial or artificial agenda or checklist or looking good to your superiors. It's love. And if we're going to really care about others, we're going to have to watch our heart. Pure heart, good conscience, sincere faith. And it's not just about feeling clean spiritually. We feel clean when our heart is at rest and our conscience is at ease and our faith is unconflicted. But it means that we really do love other people. So we're not just doing this to feel good. Like, I feel like I'm in tune with the universe. I feel good today. It's relational. We're meant to be interacting with others. These things are well connected. For example, if we don't guard our heart, like Proverbs 4 talks about, then we can damage our conscience And if our conscience is really bothering us, it's difficult to grow in faith. So the pure heart, good conscience, sincere faith are all closely connected. If we lose sight of these things, the results can be catastrophic. The false teachers, as Paul alerts us, are on a different course. It says they want to be teachers of the law. I presume this means that they're misusing the law of Moses, the Old Testament. They are very confident about their interpretations, but they don't know what they're talking about. They're majoring in minors. They're wasting time. They're speculating. And their problem is more than emphasizing the wrong thing. It's a heart issue. They wouldn't be doing this if their consciences were clear, if their hearts were pure, if their faith was where it really should be. And so he continues, verse 18, Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command so that you may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to their faith. Behind me, and I'm on the balcony of the place where we live in Atlanta, I hear sirens. Maybe you heard them. Lots of sirens. Something bad has happened. Something bad has happened. It could be a fire. It could be people are hurt. But it's something serious. Shipwreck is a serious thing. Even if you're a good swimmer, a shipwreck can take your life. You don't want your faith to shipwreck. We don't want to run up on the sandbars or hit the rocks or capsize. And yet that's what's happening here. The false teachers, these ones who want to be teachers of the law, and they're very confident, which inspires other people, but the problem is they don't even know what they're saying. These people, by rejecting those three things, that heart, faith, and conscience, they have shipwrecked their faith, and they can shipwreck others' faith too. Leaders need to be tough, but at the same time, leaders need to have soft hearts. We need to be responsive. You may not consider yourself a Christian leader. That doesn't matter. The beauty of the pastoral letters is there are things here that apply to all of us, regardless of our age in Christ or how we're doing in our faith or whether we're in leadership or not. But with shipwreck, there's no putting the ship back together. Sadly, I know of way too many people who have neglected their spiritual health. And in the name, usually the name of freedom in Christ, that is, they don't want others telling them what to do, organizing their lives for them. I understand that. But they withdraw, and they insist on their rights, and they're lulled into complacency. Things just don't bother them anymore. The warning signs are there. Hey, there are rocks over here. There's an iceberg there. Or look at that rogue wave. And then the warning signs are all around. Look, the boat's taking on water. Look at that crack that wasn't here yesterday. The warning signs are there, but they're casual, even nonchalant about it. So it doesn't matter who you are or how high up you think you are. Anyone can shipwreck his or her faith. This is so important, in fact, that we're going to come back to this in an upcoming lesson when we get to the letter of Titus. We'll see that this has strong implications for leadership. And I believe that these principles, what we're talking about right here, have sadly been ignored in many Christian groups, in many congregations. And people have been put into leadership who never should have been put into leadership because they're shipwrecking their faith and other people's faith. But we'll come back to that. Just in 1 Timothy, where we are today, we read Paul encouraging Timothy to set the right example for others. It's not enough just to teach the truth. He needs to show them the way. And afterwards, you can look up at the end of chapter 4, 1 Timothy 4:12, to be an example in these five areas. 1 Timothy 4:15, your progress will be evident to others as you interact publicly with them. So, regardless of whether we lead or not, whether we affect others a little bit or a lot, all of us should fear shipwreck. And if we're too careless, that is what will happen. There are many keys. There are many things that can help us. The discipline of silence, taking time to think, to slow down, just to listen to God. Meditation, to consider a biblical truth or read the scripture and then have time to think about it. Prayer, there are all different kinds of prayer. Humility, there's fasting. There's so many things we can do that will keep us with a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So if I were going to summarize this short lesson, and really, I can't do better than Paul did, I'm just going to reread our passage, our sentence, as we remember the point of God's command. He says, "The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." Today, how's my heart? How's my conscience? Is my faith sincere? Is there something I need to deal with, but I'm not dealing with it? Don't risk it. The dangers are real. And if you're a teacher, if you're a leader in the church, it's even more serious in your case. So let's apply these things. Our next message, which is also from 1 Timothy, is called The Gospel in a Poem. We'll be going to 1 Timothy 3 and that next lesson. Thanks for listening.